Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, have you ever heard of a case where a ghost causes a house fire? Oftentimes, hauntings are restrained to knocking and unexplained noises. Rarely do the ghost cause physical harm to property. Not in this extreme case, where a ghost actually sets fire to a home.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our number to call in to Real Ghost Stories Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, support it. Become an extra podcast person right now. Before you do anything else, go to ghostpodcast.com. Sign up. Get access to all of our bonus episodes. We have brand new ones for you every single week. And you get access to our regular episodes weeks in advance and commercial free. So lots of advantages there to be an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon at patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Doing very well. As I said, I'd share another horror story in today's episode. But, sure. Why? I don't know. How far should I get into it? I'm not going to...
Go as far as you want.
It's just been one of those things. I feel like I'm being punked in the last... I don't know.
6 months.
6 months, year. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'd be curious if the audience feels this way as well. But I feel like the level of incompetence out there, just when working with other, not necessarily in a work environment, but as a consumer, being out at a store, having to do any sort of business interaction, there's always something that goes wrong. That's part of life. That stuff does happen. It's just the frequency at which it happens in the last year or two, really. It seems like it has accelerated tenfold.
Yeah, but it could be where we are.
Yeah, I guess so. But it didn't feel like this at the beginning of the 3 years of living here. Unless I was just sticking my head in the sand and pretending that it wasn't going on. I don't know.
I think it's gotten worse, but, you know, I'd be curious to know if it's gotten worse everywhere or if it's just gotten worse here.
That's what I'm curious about. Do you feel like if you're doing something and you have to involve individuals other than yourself in any way, shape, or form to get from point A to point B in whatever you're doing, are you running into issues where it's like somebody in the chain is dropping the ball, almost guaranteed, no way around it. No matter, my thing today, as you know, we're working on getting our house sold. It is sold. We're getting everything done, and then moving into our next house. And because I'm somewhat of, I guess, a very anxious person.
Control freak.
Control freak is what I was avoiding to say.
But I just threw it out.
But hey, it serves us well with shit like this, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I have everybody in the chain of like all the realtors, all the finance, everything that's involved. And for weeks, I've been like, touching base. Does everybody need everything they need? Everybody need anything? Does this person get this document to you? Great, 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 great. Last week, did it again just to make sure because we're coming down to the final stretch. Does everybody have everything? Does anybody need anything? No, we're all good. We're all good. Today, first thing, we're going to have to push back your closing date because a document we're supposed to get out on Friday. Well, yeah, we didn't get it out till today and today's a holiday, so we can't do it.
Like, and I wasn't home. I'm sure I would have been. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when you took that call.
I was nice about it. I only threatened to sue them once.
Seriously.
Because you have to change and move everything. You have movers involved. You have animal boarding. You have storage. You have appointments for people to come to the house to get things set up. Everything. There's like, by this one person fucking something up, then it's a chain of like 30 things I have to go and fix. It's not just, it wasn't just a simple, I'm okay. You know, if it was just me.
Right.
And only me. And it was like, okay, things happen. No big deal. But it's just this, it's like, Jesus, why? Why everything? Everything has to have a kink in it of some sort. And I don't get it. So.
Okay.
That's how it's.
I know.
It's how it feels. And is it like this everywhere? Is every place, is this just the world we live in today? Is there always, is it just kind of how it is? Always there's a kink in something because somebody's dropping a ball and someone's not following through. And I don't know.
I don't know.
I know it always has happened. I'm like I said, the frequency at which it's like, holy crap.
So in my mind, yeah, it's good that you caught this. It's really good that you caught this.
Mm-hmm.
But does it prove to you that you need to be more diligent about following through on everybody's job?
I don't know how I could be.
Or does it prove to you that no matter how much you try and do everybody's job for them, that they are still going to screw it up?
Well, here's the, and I thought about that too, but here's what I, it comes to my mind. If I don't catch some of these things early on, it makes it, I can at least get a couple days worth of getting things on track versus 2 days from now, we get there like, oh, whoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're that much further behind the ball. So I know what I need to do is change my expectations of people.
Yeah, you need to take it all the way down to zero.
Yeah, so I need to pull that back so I'm not constantly disappointed. But what I need to do that, but I think the diligence, if you don't keep up on that, then it just pulls you back even further. That needs to, otherwise, like I said, we'd be staying in a hotel even longer.
Yeah.
Without being on it.
Yeah.
But the expectations and the way that it affects me, I have to change that. Because I'm not changing other people, I know that much. As much as I like to.
I know.
As much as I like to shame them into.
I just feel like we're one bad instance away from you being like the guy on Falling Down. You know? It's just like, let's just hope today goes okay.
I want my burgers and fries. What the hell was the?
I don't remember.
Like the smiley burger or some bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm never going to do this Falling Down.
Mm-hmm.
Half the world doesn't even know what movie that is anymore. It's a great movie.
It's entertainment.
Dustin Hoffman?
Is no, that, no, that who, was Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow. That's my horror story of the day. Not ghosts involved, people. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to this. It says, hi, my name's Maria. I'm a 25-year-old from Norway. Listen to your podcast for years. Fortunately, I'm not an EPP because my horse drains all my money. But I think you'll love this story. Here it goes. This happened when I was about 16 years old. My sister, Elsa, and I'm kidding.
You're an ass.
I'm Norwegian. I can make these jokes.
Okay.
So I have a free pass because I'm Norwegian. I grew up on a farm where all we had were a lot of paranormal experiences. The farm had been in our family for generations, and we could often see residual energy around the house. My mom told me that when I was around 2 or 3 years old, she heard me in the other room talking and laughing like I was talking to somebody. She went to the door to look in the room, and I was sitting with my face towards the wall looking at someone she couldn't see. As I got older, I saw the same woman almost every night walking past my bedroom door. I even drew a drawing of her and showed it to my mom. I still remember it to this day. She's wearing a long black dress with some white details on. Her brown hair was tied in a knot. We had a picture of exactly this woman downstairs. She's my great-grandmother. Now, I have two chilling stories that happened in this house. This first one happened to my mom and the second one to me. My mom was alone in the house for the night. She was sitting in the living room watching TV. To the right of our living room, we had a bigger living room we only used when we had guests over. I don't know the name of it, but I'll try to explain because it's relevant to the story. Between these two living rooms was a door that looks like an accordion. It's not a small, normal door, but you drag the doors from each side and close them together. When my mom was sitting in her chair next to this accordion door, she suddenly heard a bell ringing in the room next to her. She turned down the TV, sat and listened, when suddenly This door started shaking back and forth. She got so scared, she ran out of the house and called my dad and told him to get home immediately. There was no wind outside and all the windows were closed. When my mother told my grandfather about this, his face turned white, got goosebumps on his arms. He told my mom that when my great-grandfather was sick and dying, he usually laid on the sofa in that living room and rang the bell every time he needed his wife to help him with something. Now on to my story. This one is far more dangerous and scarier. I was around 16 years old. The day before my little brother's birthday, I decided to try to connect with and talk with the spirits that reside in our house. I made my own Ouija board by drawing the alphabet numbers and yes or no. Then I took a little glass and put it in the middle. My brother joined me and we sat in his room. A light lit two candles, just two tea lights in two tea light holders, and put them in the middle of the room where we sat. We started asking questions and the glass started moving very slowly. I don't remember all the questions, but I do remember that it told me I was going to have two children. It also told its name, which was a very odd name that I've never heard and can't remember. I thought this was my brother, so I told him to take his hands off the glass to see if it would move with just me. It started moving slowly, and I thought it might be my subconscious moving it. I asked the spirit to move it faster. The glass started moving really fast, and now I knew this wasn't me. I asked the spirit to make a sound in this room, and after I asked the question, we heard a little sound coming from the wall behind me. I asked if it could do it again, and sure enough, it did. When I asked if this was a good spirit, the glass said yes, but then I got the feeling that it was lying and felt that something bad was going to happen. I told my brother we need to stop, blew out the two candles, and walked out. My brother went to the bathroom upstairs while I went downstairs and sat on the sofa with Mom and Dad. Couldn't have been more than 60 seconds after we finished the session when my brother came running downstairs into the living room and screamed, "My room is on fire!" Right here after he said the fire alarm went off. We ran upstairs and I couldn't believe it. It was in his room just a few minutes ago. And now both curtains on each side had caught on fire and the fire was big. Went from the bottom of the curtains and up to the roof. My dad got the fire extinguisher and was able to put out the fire. I remember that awful smell of the burned wood, cloth, and white stuff from the fire extinguisher. It smelled for days. The insurance company could not find any reason for the fire, and the two tea light candles that I blew out were in the middle of the room, so that couldn't have caused it. That same night, the power went out after I'd gone to bed. I was so scared that this negative spirit would hurt us. I slept with the Bible that night and prayed for forgiveness. For unrelated reasons, we moved out of the house a couple of years later. I now wonder if the new owners are dealing with the same activity. I've always been able to feel and sense spirits, but after the Ouija board incident, I think I've subconsciously closed my third eye. I no longer sense anything, but I do struggle with anxiety, and I think I'm an empath because crowded places take a toll on me. I think the reason that the negative spirit came through was because of two things. We didn't say goodbye and closed it, and I was dealing with heavy depression, and my brother was dealing with drug abuse. I think we were the perfect match for negativity to come through. Anyways, I really hope I get to hear my story in the podcast. I hope that my story can be a warning for others, other curious souls out there. Do not mess with things you don't know how to deal with.
The only other time I think we've heard of a ghost setting fire was the one that kept turning the oven on. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do kind of.
And that was, you know, I don't remember if it actually started a fire, if it was just a really big fire hazard, but it kept messing with the oven. Mm-hmm. But setting the curtains on fire, that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah, I mean, that's physical harm, you know, property harm. It really takes it to a new level. I'm always afraid to do the oven cleaning function.
Yeah.
Because it gets so damn hot.
Right.
I just don't. I know like ovens have it. It's probably a stupid fear because it, you know, they're safe and all, but I don't know. It's like, I'm not going to press that button.
Okay. So who told you what to make you worried about that?
I don't think anybody. I just think it gets so hot in front of, just standing in front of it when it does it. It like concerns me. I'm like, this is like too hot.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. If someone did, I don't remember who.
Okay.
I could take a wild guess.
Yeah.
but I don't know if there was ever any statement about that, about oven cleaning.
Okay.
That I can remember.
Okay.
I know. I had a lot of cautionary tales.
Yeah.
It's like Dwight Schrute. I think like they read to me the Strudel Pita. like just in a crib. And then I was just, you know, from then on out, it was just, let's worry about everything. So there you go. That's a real book, by the way.
Oh, it is.
I looked it up, and it is Cautionary Tales for Children. I think, I don't know if it's German or Norwegian, it's or Scandinavian. It's one of those where it's,
I think it's German.
Is it? Yeah. Good book. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I should mention this while we're talking about books. I have a new book. Might as well just throw it in there.
By the way,
there's a book out. But it's Cautionary Tales for Children. Its basis is these historic hauntings.
Mm-hmm. From around the world.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Because you don't remember what your book's called, right?
You can't ever be mad at me for forgetting birthdays and shit if I don't remember my own book, okay? Because that's how my brain works. The world's favorite ghost stories, 13 creepy tales from around the globe.
There you go.
It's a long title.
It is.
And it's a title I didn't come up with. So it's 13 creepy tales from around the world. And it takes a look at, like I said, all these different historic haunting stories from all these different cultures, all these different points in time. Really great artwork on the book. It's all original for this book. If you like, and it kind of has like a, I'm gonna say retro or classic feel to it.
It reminds me a lot of like classic literature, like from high school, the book mm-hmm. cover does, like Edgar Allan Poe kind of stuff.
And that's the type of literature that's in the book.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, you'll love this book. It's available Amazon and Kindle if you want to check it out. World's Favorite Ghost Stories, 13 Creepy Tales from Around the Globe. Go and check it out. It's creepy. I'm a fan, not just because I, you know, put it together, but because it's ghost stories. What's interesting about it is the fact that with the stories, how old some of them are, a lot of them just kind of follow the same pattern of the stuff that we hear today. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are accounted and described, maybe in a slightly different way, but you go, oh, that's what the way I hear them described today, but kind of in a more modern term. Mm-hmm. So times change, but it seems ghost stories, not that much.
No.
Not that much. So anyway, if that's out there, do check that out. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories. Online, let's go to another letter. It says, my family and I recently moved into a bungalow a few months ago, and this road we now live on is full of bungalows designed mainly for elderly people with mobility issues. The moment we moved in, I instantly felt the house was hollow and lifeless. The house in general didn't and still doesn't have a good energy. Throughout the months, I realized I couldn't go to sleep without my night lamp on, and I'm usually never the type of person to be scared or not be able to fall asleep without having something playing in the background. However, I've not been able to sleep once on my own without having a TV show playing on my laptop next to me. I realized how depressed and isolated I became. I had more arguments with my family. I've been more emotional than usual. What was really strange was that I always felt fine when I left the house, but as soon as I came home, I felt my energy reducing significantly and more or less returned to my depressed state. I've never experienced any paranormal activity, nor have I ever really paid much attention to it. However, one night I was lying down in my bed with my laptop beside me. I noticed something move past me and go towards the door. The best way to describe this was that it looked like the headlight from a car coming through the window. As it passes by your street, I automatically tried to rationalize this by thinking it must have been a car, but I soon realized it couldn't have been because my curtains are completely black and no light can come through. And not only this, but my window doesn't even face the main road. It faces the garden. I immediately felt a chill going down my spine as I realized this couldn't have been any other light from the outside, as my garden is very dark and the light doesn't work. I already felt watched and unsafe in general, but now that I saw this figure passing by me, I knew something was wrong with the room I sleep in. From that point onward, I would either go to sleep next to my mom or stay awake for so long in my room that I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore. A couple of months later, I moved out of my family's home and I found a job in a city near London. I sometimes still visit my family and I sleep in that same room when I go back. The last time I went there was 3 weeks ago, and I haven't been back since. I was sleeping, and I've never had sleep paralysis before, but I'm still not sure what I experienced and if it was real. My mom was sleeping in my room that night because I told her to sleep next to me. She woke up at around 4 a.m. to go back to her room. I woke up with her, but thought I was still dreaming. I started thinking to myself, does she not want to sleep here because of the ghosts in here? And I answered myself by saying, yes, she must not want to because the ghost is here on my right. I then somehow found myself in a strange state. I wasn't dreaming. And I wasn't in reality. I felt like I was stuck in the middle of these two different worlds. I started seeing gray and my vision was blurry, then started seeing a black silhouette over me, but I couldn't make out what it was clearly. Soon after, it grabbed my left hand, and when it grabbed it, I knew it was real. I knew I wasn't dreaming because I've never felt something so real in a dream before. I felt my body being pressed down and couldn't move. It almost felt like it was trying to take my soul out of my body. I'm quite a religious person, so at that moment I started praying and calling out to God, and soon after I woke up, I immediately got out of bed. I felt like I was in a battle, and I finally escaped. I now cannot even dream of sleeping in this room alone, even with the light on, as I know something is out to get me, and I don't know what it is.
I think when you go in a house and you feel that feeling that something's there, that something is there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it was really confined to this person's room, you know?
And nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that with houses?
The feeling that something's there?
Where it gets confined to a specific room. I mean, I get it when it's almost like the architecture of the home, like this is the original portion, and then it gets expanded out upon. But when it's not that, it's just like, this room's always been here too. Why?
Because most of the time people have a room that is quote unquote theirs, you know, like we have the master and the girls each have their room. And so it's probably wherever they spent the most time is quote unquote their room.
Okay.
And maybe that's why it feels like it's more confined to that area. Cause that's where you go to avoid people. So if it's gone in there to avoid the people that live in the house, it's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna not be in that room.
I see what you're saying. So the amount of ghost stories that have been told in this room.
That doesn't make a difference. That doesn't bring on anything.
Yeah, it doesn't bring on anything, but just the energy of it.
It's a fun energy.
That's true.
Because you make it fun. You do.
You just don't want to think about ghosts. My thought was, I'm just getting at not necessarily conjuring up ghosts, but just the energy of us sharing the stories. Although I think you'd have to have fear in, and I'm never fearful when we're doing the show.
No.
I've never once like told a ghost story and got scared.
The energy we expel in this room is not sad or scared or any, it's usually, you know, somewhat jovial.
That's true. So well, it's not going to be any. Somebody comes in here and uses it as an office in the future. It's not going to be like really weird feeling in there. No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. All right. Just checking. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, I've lived in the same house for about 15 years now, and ever since I was young, my sister and I have encountered some strange experiences. I'll share some that happened. First time I became aware that the spirit was in my house, I was 9 or 10. I had a friend over to spend the night, and we were in the basement. Went upstairs for a reason I can no longer recall. And on my return down the stairs, I fell. It's only about 6 stairs that I fell, but I remember distinctly feeling hands on my back and a forceful push. As I lay at the bottom of the stairs, I looked back up to see if my sister or someone had pushed me. I saw a figure, and it wasn't exactly opaque, nor did it have any shape. It just seemed that it was in this area. The background looked less sharp, very blurry. My friend came around the corner to see if I was okay, and when I looked back to see the figure, it had disappeared. The next experience happened a few weeks after being pushed down the stairs. I was home alone and went to the garage to get a soda. I walked into the garage and heard a strange noise coming from the attic. I listened carefully and decided that they had to be footsteps because the noise would move about the attic. Curious, I called out, "Hello?" And then it stopped suddenly for about a second. Then in what sounded like a burst of energy or rage, the noise trampled towards the attic door. I ran back into the house and out the front door and refused to go home until someone else was there. It wasn't until recently that the being in my house adopted a visual self, or maybe it was the first time I noticed, was huge. If he were real, he'd be 6'6 or 6'7, 250 to 300 pounds. His body and face are all the same color, paper white, and he has a full head of jet black hair. First time I noticed him in this form was last summer. I came home from a late night of partying, and while I fumbled with my keys to let myself in, something huge and white came across and stood right in front of the door on the inside of the house so I could see him in the side light windows. I screamed, told him to leave me alone, and he slides off the opposite way he came. I rushed into my house and locked my bedroom door like it would do some good. He really likes to mess with people, especially me. He likes to steal things and move them. He really likes to inhabit electronics. One night I had some friends over to the house and we were in the basement. We kept hearing loud thuds upstairs. I was a little scared, but I assumed that it was just a cat. Only all cats were out. I asked my friend Cody to please come to investigate with me, and he agreed. We went to the first floor and found nothing strange, so we proceeded to the second floor. We heard an alarm clock going off in my parents' room. It was around 9 at night, no reason for an alarm to have been set. What makes it weird is that it was my mom's clock, and it was doing the alarm beeps, but my mom only wakes up to the radio, and her clock is set for that. We both thought it was really odd, turned it off, and went back to the basement. Later, after my friends had left, I was cleaning out the first floor, and out of the corner of my eyes, I saw him move across the hallway, and he went through the door and out the garage. I noticed that on the closet door in the hallway, there was a coat hanger, and it was swinging wildly. I called my friends and had them pick me up. There have been many more experiences in my house, and I'm still not sure if that man is evil and is out to hurt me, or if he just likes to play jokes and scare me. Either way, I ask him on a regular basis to leave me alone. Sometimes it works, sometimes not.
I think beyond the fact that it's a ghost the size of a linebacker, and that's terrible, you know?
Just the sheer size is frightening, mm-hmm. especially when you don't know what it is.
Right, but it seems like if it's listening to you at least part of the time, then it's not all bad, you know? It's just there.
It's interesting, because quite often when we have that where it's like, I asked it to stop, it seems to be almost, and then it stopped forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's a little more opinionated, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, some days I'm in the mood to stop, some days I'm not. And you kind of get what you get. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi,
guys. My name's Rachel. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. I actually just moved here, and it's funny because this isn't fully a ghost story. It's more of just this weird thing that happened that connected to your podcast, and then also some questions that I have about things. So I just moved into a new apartment in a new city. I grew up in the Okanagan, and I was very comfortable back where I used to live. I lived there my whole life, so I was very familiar with the house and all of its idiosyncrasies and things. Here, I'm very new, and that it feels quite okay, but I had a dream the other night, and it was a very, very intense, vivid dream. I woke up in a cold sweat and just terrified, and in my dream, I had noticed some weird things happening around the apartment. So the way that I would have been back home, because I was comfortable there, I was very vocal and very strong in telling whatever it was that this is my home and that you are not welcome here. And in the dream, that just caused a world of hurt. It's crazy shit started happening. Knives were flying out of the butcher's block. It was awful. I wish that I'd been more quiet about the whole thing and just kind of let live or let die or let be dead, whatever. But in the dream, I actually had the conscious thought that, oh, I have a cool new ghost story that I can call into the podcast and tell them about, even though it was horrible and I hated my life and I didn't want to be living here. But yeah, now that I am living here and like the dream has been done with, there have been a couple of weird things that have happened, but being that this is an apartment building and there's so many different units and stuff, I never really know if it's somebody else outside of the apartment making a noise. Like, things haven't gone missing. They're not misplaced into different areas. But, I mean, how do you guys feel about confronting paranormal stuff when it starts happening to you? Do you take a gentler approach? Do you take a really strong stand against it. Like, I just don't know if things were to start happening here, especially now that I've had that dream, whether it would be safe to actually loudly confront something that I don't know or understand yet. There's a place that I used to live in. I called in before about my very old house. I was familiar with all of the entities that were in there because I lived there my whole life. So being here is just weird and new, and I've never actually done this before. All the other places I've lived, were owned by family, or I was familiar with them. Anyways, love your guys' show. Thank you for listening to this. Have a fantastic day. Bye.
I think that's interesting that she listens to us enough that in her dream she thought, "Ooh, I should call this in." You know,
it's just natural reaction.
But I would take the stance that I would take with a living person, as same as a dead person. I would say, start out if they really are bothering you, nicely asking them to stop, and then escalate from there. I wouldn't start out just out of the box, you know, go in full force. I would just try the natural progression of steps to take care of it.
And see what happens.
Yeah.
May see some results that way.
Yeah.
I could see that. Yeah. It's a good story. Thank you for sharing that. And thanks for having us as your second nature reaction when having a paranormal experience. I like that. That's that's good. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to sign up. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, and more. ghostpodcast.com. Patreon.com/realghoststories. You choose it, and keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.